Well, here's a guy who's no sod poodle himself, and he is in charge of the beat for the Bay Area News Group. We love him. He's having a great, he was Rookie of the Year last year, having a great second year. Big things in his future, and that is Kerry Crowley. Kerry, how are you?
Excellent this morning, Marty. It's funny you mentioned that. One of my good friends is the broadcaster for the Amarillo Sod Poodles, Sam Levitt, having a great season over there. So.
Really?
I know all about them. I know all the Padres AA players.
Oh, very well. What do you think of this today? That this kid is, Ron Wotus and I were just talking, he's, I think, 17 games with the Sod Poodles and basically was an opener in every one of them.
Yeah, fascinating strategy, and I think it speaks to the way that baseball is moving. I think that the San Diego Padres have experimented within their farm system. They don't have many frontline top arms who are capable of throwing a lot of innings in the majors right now, but if they do believe that they can piece together the pitching staff like they can, you know, you got to pull from guys in AA who are doing things like this, who are opening games, who are throwing in these situations because that's their familiarity and their comfort level.
Yeah, they're getting, plus his Diaz last night, boy, he throws the ball amazing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
6'8", right?
Yeah, they've always had good arms in the bullpen. That is the one thing. You never want to get into a bullpen game with San Diego. This goes back to when Bochy managed him with Hoffman and Linebrink and those people, Utsuka and those guys. So, yeah, it's something that San Diego has figured out, and the Giants have figured it out to some extent. They just have to start bringing guys in from that farm system. Like a Coonrod or a Melvin Adone or people like that who can come up and be those kind of players. And I think that's something that Farhan's got to put together.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that we'll definitely start to see that in 2020 because if you look at Farhan's track record, both in Oakland and Los Angeles, he never liked paying a lot for relievers. And that was one of the knocks on him and Andrew Friedman in Los Angeles is that they didn't go out and sign a bunch of relievers to come in and support Kenley Jansen in that bullpen who was making a ton of money. And so I think next season we'll start to see him rely on the Melvin Adones, the Tyler Sears mm-hmm. of the world who mm-hmm. are coming up through this system.
Yeah, Tyler Sear was pretty good a couple of years ago in spring. He's from Hayward, right?
Yeah,
nice kid.
Excellent year at AA.
Yeah, family listens to our shows all the time, and then he got hurt. And now he's on his way back. And, yeah, very good. I forgot about him. It's CYR, Tyler Sear. So what did you think yesterday of Sean Anderson?
You know, I actually thought Anderson pitched better than his final line. This was really, in my opinion, the best we've seen of Anderson in the month of July, even though he did struggle a bit. He hung the slider to Tatis, but he set a new career high for swings and misses, and that's always indicative of a pitcher fooling hitters and future success, really. That's something that you look at for Anderson to improve on, and he did that last night. And so his slider was good, except for the one he threw to Tatis and the one he threw to Myers. And the fastball was working for him. It just wasn't a complete outing because the Padres did touch him up for a little bit, and it was made worse by the fact that the Giants just showed no signs of life on offense.
No, they have got some major people in slumps right now. And mm-hmm. you can't, as I look, we, you and I have talked about it on the air and off the air, you can't rely on Dickerson and Yastrzemski and Solano to lead you through this tough time. You've got to have Pilar, you've got to have Crawford, you've got to have Belt, you've got to have Posey, you got to have Panic. You know, these core guys, and they miss Longoria. You can't go 9-for-53 and be your leadoff guy.
You know, it's amazing to me with Belt in his slump right now. I think he's 0-for-his-last-17. But I go back to that series at Coors Field when the Giants exploded coming out of the All-Star break. They scored all those runs. And that was when Brandon Crawford got so hot. And,
right.
and this offense is very different when he is playing at a high level. And you can see that over the past two seasons, when he has slumped, the offense has slumped. And, you know, you go back to last year when he hit 400 for that six-week stretch. That was the Giants' best stretch of the season when Brandon Crawford was playing his best. So I think it's an underrated factor in their struggles that if they aren't getting much out of the shortstop position, they're really not going to get that much out of this offense.
Well, I agree with you. And the other part is he is a guy who hits 5th, 6th, or 7th, and mm-hmm. he comes up with people on base, and that's when he gets hot and can hit the ball out of the park or go the other way. He can drive in runs and be a major part of the offense. When you got Pilar and Crawford not hitting, and they're hitting in the 6-7 spots, guys do get on ahead of them. Yastrzemski's getting on, Dickerson's getting on, people are getting on base. And here, look, the guy walked three people in an inning, and Pilar couldn't get it done twice. He had two chances to do it. So For me, those two guys are so important at that part of the order.
Yeah, I completely agree. And with Pillar, I can't help but wonder if fatigue is starting to set in, because I think he started something like 95 of the last 96 games in center field for the Giants. And in the big parks in the National League West, where you're roaming so much room in the outfield, that's just a really difficult ask of any player, not to mention that Pillar is, you know, on his fifth or sixth major league season of playing every day. And that catches up to you. You know, you've seen the metrics don't love him like they once did defensively, even though he's made some great plays for the Giants. And I think that he would benefit from the Giants potentially bringing in maybe Steven Duggar for a few games from AAA Sacramento to give him some rest, or putting Mike Yastrzemski out there and taking a chance. Maybe you match him with Austin Slater out there in one of the corner outfield spots to make his job a little bit easier. But I can't help but think that Pillar's struggles at the plate right now are tied to playing so much in the field.
I think you're exactly right. First, he's going to have 700 plate appearances because, you know, he never walks. He's going to lead the league in that. And you're absolutely right. This is game, 106 today, I think. And and he doesn't get – and, you know, it's funny because there's so much into resting players. You know, it became such a big part of the Giants' strategy. He doesn't seem to get that. He's not in the loop on that. So I agree with you 100%. I think he looks what do I know? But he looks a little bit tired. I want to say one thing about Anderson. I thought the slider last night was outstanding early in the game, first few innings. And then as he started to get hit a little bit, it did hang, and he missed his spots. And the balls that were hit hard were not in good locations. Maybe this guy is really a relief pitcher.
You know, I was going to go there. I was thinking that maybe the next 2 months the Giants are going to learn a lot more about his future in this organization, where he fits in. Is he more of a long reliever? Because, you know, that fastball velocity can play up out of the bullpen for Anderson. He was a closer at Florida, you know that, and just about all of your listeners know that. But he was throwing 96, 97 when he was with the Gators. And if you get that kind of velocity from Anderson, maybe the slider has a little bit more life to it, and he has control early, and he can be a 1-2-inning guy out of the bullpen, kind of like a Trevor Gott, as opposed to a starter who's five and dive and starts to struggle the second and third time through the order.
Yeah, that's his future. I really felt it last night. So we'll see where it goes, but I'm glad that we could talk about it, because it is a time to try to figure that out. Well, with all that said, feel any differently today after watching the offense struggle for the third straight day? Does this put a little different spin on what's coming up here on Wednesday?
You know, I think it does a little bit, because everyone in the clubhouse has said the front office is watching. The front office knows what this group is capable of. And yes, the front office is watching extremely closely, but what they've seen over the past nine games is an offense that just can't be relied upon. So, you know, do they feel as confidently that this team can hang in and contend with those National League Central teams that are shaping up to have a really intriguing playoff race in August and September? I'm not so sure, because you've got so many guys who can go ice cold in a matter of seconds, and we've seen it over the past two to three years now, and it's just difficult to envision this team making a significant push. But with that being said, you can't discount what they've accomplished in the month of July. You can't just throw out the month of June either, and this roster really does look different. So I think it's a delicate balance for this front office, and I really don't know which way they're going to go at the trade deadline.
Yeah, I'm not sure they – well, they probably do know, because you can't just wake up in the morning on Monday morning and say, you know, let's start making calls. And it's not like us, you know, trying to order our laundry or something. You know, you just can't do that. So, yeah, I think they know what they're going to do. It's just a question of trying to get the best offer and then reacting to that. And I think that's the issue for them right now. Bumgarner today, of course, this could be his last start as a Giant. He'll be 30 on Thursday. If you had a bet a little bit on it, what do you say happens with him after Wednesday?
I think he's staying put. I think that of all the trade candidates, Bumgarner will be in San Francisco. And we talked about this yesterday a little bit. I mean, if they lose the next two and they get this Godfather offer from somewhere else, then, yeah, sure, I think Bumgarner could be on the move. I'm not going to completely rule it out, but I'd say the chances of him sticking around are probably around 75-80% right now. And the market just isn't great for free agent rentals. The names that have come up are Zach Greinke, Noah Syndergaard, Marcus Stroman. All these guys have multiple years of control left. And, you know, Bumgarner's the one guy who's a pending free agent. So I just don't think the offers are going to be quite what Giants fans would want and what Farhan would want to move a legend for this franchise. And so I think that, you know, taking all of those things into account and where the Giants are on today, July 28th, it's just very difficult to envision him pitching somewhere else come next week.
All right, very good. Good analysis of that. But we're going to follow you on Twitter and, of course, everything that you write for the Bay Area News Group. It's an exciting time for you. Is there another leadoff hitter other than Belt? Someone called on the show last night and said, all right, get him out of there, as people would want to do. But who's the alternative? Do they have a leadoff hitter if it's not him?
You know, when they face left-handed pitchers, it'll be Donovan Solano, in my opinion. I think he's done a really good job. But a guy whose name has not been discussed at all, I haven't heard this from Bruce Bochy, I haven't heard this from Farhan or anyone, but someone who I think could be a leadoff hitter when he plays is Stephen Vogt. He hustles out of the box. He takes walks. He works counts, and he energizes the offense, and he gets on base more so than most of these guys. And so even though you never really want to rely on your backup catcher to do a lot, he's been playing almost a platoon, and I think Vogt could come in and actually give them a little bit of life out of that spot.
All right, very good. I like it. All right, that's a good answer. Vogt does give him some lively at-bats. There's no question about it. When he comes up, I got a feeling that something can happen. Well, we'll see what they do. The offense has done it before, and you're right. If they win today, it's 32-18 in 50 games. That's a .640 pace, and that's a third of the season. So I know there's a lot ahead, but my feeling is that Farhan is going to add something. He may subtract maybe one player here or there, but I think he's going to add an outfielder, and I think he's going to add maybe Sogard in the infield. But he sees the offense that we all see, and he knows he needs a little bit of help. So my feeling is he adds something to the Major League roster.
Yeah, it would not surprise me at all to see one or two relievers on their way out, maybe a middle prospect, and then you bring in a second base and you bring in an outfielder, just like you said, who can help this club immediately, and you're not sacrificing much in the future.
Right, yeah, that's it. All right, hey, great to talk to you. I can't wait to follow you the next few days, and I appreciate you coming on, Kerry. Very good. Where are the folks today?
That's a good question. I'm sure they're out riding their bikes right now with the transistor. So
okay.
I don't know. They're probably listening in.
All right. Beautiful day up here. And we just had Woe on. He said it's a gorgeous day down there, too.
Yeah, it's always perfect in San Diego. This is the best road city we get to travel to from a weather perspective. And Giants fans really do fill up Petco Park. And that hasn't changed despite the losing that they've seen the past 2 years.
Ready for Philly?
I guess so. I'm ready for the trade deadline. I don't know if the city would matter, but I think that the trade deadline is going to dominate my life for 48 hours. So I'm ready for that.
All right. Well, Henry's ready for the cheesesteaks. I'm sure he's ready for that.
yes.
Good. All right, Kerry. Thanks so much as always. Great job.
All right. Thank you, Marty.
All right. That is Kerry Crowley, of course, the Bay Area News Group. Always love having him on.